Good evening, everybody. I'm Lisa Ernst, and I'm a founding and guiding teacher at One Dharma Nashville. And this is my second time here, and glad to be here again on this beautiful spring-like evening. I know we're all hungry for spring, and it's nice to get a little warmth and sunshine. Every little bit helps, I think. So anyway, tonight I'm going to talk about generosity. I'm going to put a little twist on it, and I'm going to talk specifically about receiving generosity. That is, the act of receiving with an open heart is also a form of generosity, and understanding the interconnectedness with the giver and receiver, and seeing that it's not separate, and that in that act we can really open our hearts as a spiritual act of receiving, not just generosity from others, but the generosity of this very moment, the perfection of this moment, and opening our hearts to receive it, that this generosity of this moment can bring to us. And to really see how to do that with an open heart, to take down the armor of the heart and to truly receive. When Sharon Salzberg was practicing in Thailand, she tells an anecdote of talking to a monk over there who asked her about practice in America, and he said, "I don't really understand how Buddhism is being taught in America." He said, "You know, Buddha started by teaching generosity. He taught that generosity was the foundation upon which we build a spiritual path." And he said, "You know, in America, it seems that everybody starts with meditation, and maybe generosity gets thrown in at some point down the road, but it doesn't seem to be given much emphasis." And she said, "You know, I think that's true. Not sure why, but he was right." And I think part of it is that in this country, you know, we're very hungry, most of the practitioners, the lay practitioners, we're very hungry to meditate. We want to experience, especially in this busy world we live in, you know, we want to slow down, we want to be mindful, we want to have these meditative states and experience them and bring it into our lives. And I think it's wonderful. But I do think bringing in the emphasis and learning about generosity and learning, you know, the deep practice of generosity and receiving generosity is really an important part of our practice, and it really helps support our meditation practice. And I wanted to read a quote from Sharon Salzberg about this. "The Buddha said that a true spiritual life is not possible without a generous heart. Generosity is the very first parami, or quality of an awakened mind. The path begins there because of the joy that arises from a generous heart. Pure, unhindered delight flows freely when we practice generosity. We experience joy in forming the intention to give, in the act of giving, and in the recollecting the fact that we've given. Therefore, the practice of generosity is about creating space. We see our limits and we extend them continuously, which creates an expansiveness and spaciousness of mind that's deeply composed. This happiness and spaciousness is the appropriate ground in which meditation practice can flourish. It is the ideal place from which to undertake deep investigation, because with this kind of inner happiness and spaciousness, we have the strength and flexibility to look at absolutely everything that arises in our experience." And so I think what happens with receiving generosity is that this spaciousness sometimes can get closed down. I think quite often acts of generosity, if they're given to us, we're often conditioned, probably from history, from times in our lives, there can often be kind of a moment of mistrust or uncertainty. You know, is this act real or genuine? Can I really be open? Can I open my heart even to a simple compliment? You know how sometimes it's easy to kind of resist a compliment. Or when somebody does an act of kindness or something very loving can come to us, and there can often be a question, you know, is this something I'm going to owe? Is there an obligation? Is this real? And I think sometimes that's true. You know, there certainly in acts of giving there can be various agendas that aren't really coming out of true generosity, and they do bring us that question. You know, you've heard the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished. And I think there can be some truth to that, you know, that sometimes it seems as if good deeds often are not met with a reciprocal kindness, but a certain question of, you know, am I going to owe something? How do I respond to a true generosity? Can I just open my heart, or do I need to close myself down against it because something's not quite right here? And so how do we discern that? How do we begin to really become clear about how to receive the generosity with an open heart when it's true and when it's real? And, you know, I was thinking of one of the conditionings I had about generosity from when I was a child, and how I became to mistrust generosity was when my parents divorced when I was 7, and then my mother died of cancer when I was 13, and my father was an alcoholic. And so my mother made sure that I didn't go to live with him after she died, so I lived with my grandmother. And so my father started this campaign of, he wanted me to live with him, and so he started this campaign of giving things to me. And so he would give me all the things that I wanted, all the material things that a person could want. And having grown up with my mother after they divorced, you know, she had struggled financially, and we really had to get by on a shoestring. And so there was this change in that I could have my heart's desire. You know, he was giving me all the things I could possibly want. And I remember being very confused. I didn't quite understand at that point what was going on. But I did know that his gifts, even though they were things that I coveted, they made me feel a little icky inside. You know, there was just something about it that just, you know, I kind of closed against it. I armored my heart against it because I knew something wasn't right. You know, there were so many strings attached that I couldn't receive it. And that was, of course, correct. That was wise. Even though at the time I didn't quite understand what was going on, there was some wisdom in knowing that that generosity wasn't true and wasn't real. And, you know, as I got older, though, that conditioning stayed with me. And it became quite difficult to receive any acts of generosity in my life. My heart was armored. You know, and I think many of us kind of find that kind of armoring happens over time, where it's kind of difficult to just receive with a completely open heart, to just allow kindness or some giving, just to open our hearts to it. It can be a real challenge, and sometimes that really true generosity can be kind of rare in this world, you know, where it's absolutely meant from just true and genuine kindness. And then when we can actually receive it, when we can receive it, there's an interdependence and there's a connection between the giver and the receiver that really is a kind of opening, and where both people are experiencing generosity. You're allowing the other person that wants to offer a kindness to manifest that act. And so in our willingness to allow them to manifest that kindness, we're allowing them to complete that act. And so we are being generous and allowing them to manifest this very important part of the spiritual path. So at a spiritual level, it's a deep interdependence that really plays out and completes itself when we can allow and receive that generosity. And for me, you know, the first time I really learned about this was in when I first met my husband. I had been meditating for a while and had been struggling with loneliness and really had wanted to be in an intimate relationship. And it never really worked. It was sort of that push and pull, you know, either I wanted it more than the other person or he wanted it more, and we were never meeting. You know, there was never any real intimacy because it was always that one way or the other. You know, so there was never any true meeting of the heart. There was never any true way of loving, giving and receiving love in a generous way. And so when I met my husband, I noticed that he seemed different from other men that I had met. He seemed to have a very generous, giving heart. There was something very different about him, and I saw it. And I saw that he just seemed to have a kind of kindness and generosity that I hadn't experienced before. And it kind of freaked me out, to be honest. It was like, wow, this is different. You know, what am I going to do with this? It scared me. There was a kind of that armoring, you know, that kind of protective mechanism that sometimes protects us against that kind of deep intimacy of giving and receiving. It came up. And I really asked myself, you know, is this something that I can do? Is this for me? And it was almost as if in that resistance, I came up with other reasons that I thought he wasn't right for me. You know, all kinds of different ways of protecting myself against this deeper intimacy and receiving. And so I went off and I did a 7-day meditation retreat in New Mexico. And I decided I would see if I could get clearer on whether he was the right person for me. And so in the going off to the meditation retreat, you know, I was able to really settle into my experience, into my mind, and into my heart. And some of those barriers of my heart began to come down. All of the resistance, all of the old conditioning and patterns that were keeping me away from real intimacy began to melt and dissolve. And by the end of the retreat, you know, my heart was open and I knew. I knew he was the one for me. And really, our anniversary is this Saturday, and so I feel a lot of joy about this. It'll be 18 years. And so it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And if I hadn't been able to be still and silent and open my heart and to see that truth, I don't think I would have done it. I think I was too scared, and I would have walked away. And so I'm very grateful. This practice, this meditation practice, allowed me to open my heart enough to know that this is what I really needed, and this person was going to bring me happiness, and that I could receive his generous, loving heart, which before I wouldn't have been able to do. And so this practice really opened me up to that, to take down my armor and to really receive. And really what we're asked to do in a genuine meditation practice is this very thing. And that is to take down our armor and our protection enough to receive this moment. You know, that's what it takes to truly be present in this moment, to really receive all of the wonders that this moment has to give to us, is to take down the armor and to just let go and to live with this moment, to step into it. And it's like receiving a sunrise. You know, if you've ever witnessed, if you've just stood and witnessed a sunrise and you can just open your heart to it, there's something just so poignant and beautiful about receiving a sunrise, because it's so impermanent, it's so beautiful, and yet it's so fleeting. And so something, you know, just in opening your heart and letting it break your heart open and just receiving the beauty of this moment. And that's, you know, for me, the what this practice really helped me to do more than anything. When I first came to meditation practice, I had been very depressed for quite a few years, and the last thing that I could possibly do was to receive the generosity of this moment. You know, and I had never, I think up to that time, had never really known gratitude. I think in my life that the experience of gratitude was completely foreign to me. And as I began to meditate, you know, I began to open my heart enough to receive this moment in a way that touched me very deeply into gratitude. Because, you know, I have found that in opening my heart, in opening, taking down the armor of the heart, that what naturally arises is appreciation for this moment. And so gratitude was arising in the practice of receiving, in receiving the perfection of this moment just the way it is. And one morning I was meditating, and I was just really moved by the beauty of the moment, and I wrote a poem. And I'm not really a poet, so I'm not a wonderfully articulate poet, but I was just so moved to write about the generosity of this moment and of receiving the generosity of this moment. And so this is what I wrote. As I sit for meditation, I'm struck by the morning's complete generosity. It gives all, holding not a thing back for itself. It asks nothing of me, except to fall into its open arms completely, like a lover's warm embrace. The birds sing this song from my very heart, until the birds and I disappear, and nothing remains, except all that is here. And so it's kind of like dissolving and just disappearing in the moment, into the moment. You know, there are times when we can just completely let go into the moment, and there's no me anymore. There's no separation. It's just this moment. And there's a Zen verse about letting the moment come to us. And the verse is, chasing after the world brings chaos. Allowing it to come to me brings peace. And another Zen saying, if some of you might be familiar with the saying of dying to the moment or dying on the cushion, you know, and that's really about letting down the resistance and releasing our separation and just receiving what's here. And when we can do that, then we can really totally open to this peace, the peace of what's here. When we quit seeking, we quit trying, we quit looking. You know, and most Dharma teachers know that a really good Dharma teacher has the capacity to be vulnerable and open. And that capacity is partly a capacity to receive the teachings, but it's also the capacity and the willingness to wake up to this moment, you know, just the way it is, and not to superimpose any particular idea onto what this moment is, to really let this moment be exactly what it is without the armoring of the heart, without the resistance of anything else. And so then this Dharma wisdom can come to us. And in fact, of course, the Dharma wisdom is really already here. It's something inherent within us. But in not chasing it, in not looking, and in letting go, then this wisdom is here. And so we receive it. And so this is the receiving of the beauty of this moment, that we, as we take down this armor and this protection of our heart, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, then this moment is something we can truly receive. We can really appreciate this moment. So what I wanted to do tonight, I have a guided meditation that I want to do. And this is a metta-guided meditation, but it's a little different from the traditional, if you know, traditional metta practice where we offer loving kindness. We start with ourselves and then we move out and we give loving kindness to various others. So this metta practice is that we begin by receiving metta. And so we're going to receive metta from those we care about, and we're going from those we love. And so we're going to open our heart to the experience of receiving before we then turn and give them, and giving it outward. So this is an opportunity to do this, to receive, to open our heart and receive loving kindness. So if you'd like to just close your eyes and we'll move into this guided meditation of receiving loving kindness. Think of a person or even an animal, if you have a loving animal, who represents a loving and kind presence in your life. This can be a good friend who is alive. Maybe someone who has passed away, or a spiritual figure, such as the Dalai Lama, Jesus, or even the hand of God. Just take a moment to see where you land. Just go with what intuitively feels right to you. Find that loving presence. Take a moment to imagine that presence here with you at this very moment. Feel the connection in your heart. Now imagine that person saying to you, "May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind." Now open your heart and take a few moments to see if you have any other loving kindness wishes and aspirations you would like from this loving being. See if you can receive that. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you have ease of well-being. And now, with a full heart, you will offer this same loving kindness to the person, to this person or this pet, this loving presence, offering it to them. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you have ease of well-being. And now take a moment. If you have any other wishes and aspirations you would like to offer to this being, in your own words, anything at all, just offer them. And now, with an open and loving heart, let's move our loving kindness outward a little bit to the people you feel close to, your family, friends, other people that you feel a strong connection with, whoever comes to mind. And with the same generosity, the loving kindness, may you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you have ease of well-being. Now, if there are any other aspirations or wishes for your loved ones that you would like to offer in your own words, please offer them. Now we'll move our loving kindness to the neutral person, or neutral persons in your life perhaps people that you see in your life, but don't really notice them very closely, don't know them well. And what we find when we offer kindness to the neutral people is we find that it's not so neutral after all, that there's something there, there's something deeper there. So think of someone in your life that is neutral and offer kindness to them. And with the same spirit of loving kindness, may you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you have ease of well-being. And now we'll move our loving kindness to a difficult person. If you don't do a lot of metta practice, it's easier to start with someone difficult, but not overwhelmingly difficult. Someone that you can offer some kindness to without feeling completely overwhelmed. So find a person that you have some difficulty with, but that you can offer with generosity some kindness. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you have ease of well-being. Now we'll move our loving kindness to all beings. And so with this portion of the loving kindness practice, imagine the interconnection between you, the loving person, family, neutral people, difficult people. See if you can feel that place in your heart that we all share, that interconnected that we all share, that interconnectedness, that sense of humanity, and the fact that we all suffer. We all want to be happy. And so let's encompass all beings. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be free from fear. May you be healthy in body and mind. May you have ease of well-being.